I don't think I need to give you any kind of statistics to tell you about the reality that parents are really concerned with their children's screen time addiction. But now we're faced with a new reality where parents are unknowingly modeling the behavior. So this is what we're going to talk about, is the parents' role in our children's screen time issues. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CVO of Being Connected, but I'm also a registered early childhood education with over 20 years of experience. I work with parents and teachers to navigate the reality of what parenting is today. Don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we put the child's needs first. So we're gonna have to put our ego and pride aside, especially today. And let's get to it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, this is season three, so I do invite you to have a look at the two previous seasons. There may be some topics there that may resonate with you, so I do invite you to go have a look. And if you're watching on YouTube, those playlists are separated, so they're easier to find. So we're gonna jump right in today. Of course, a huge topic, especially nowadays, is screen time, and how do we get our kids to get off their devices? Unfortunately, the statistics are showing that the first thing we need to do to get our kids off of screen time is to get ourselves off of screen time. So it is more and more alarming to the fact that parents are, at the moment, the primary screen influencers, if we can call it that. So their statistics are screaming that we need to do something. We have to remember that children imitate us. We model the behaviors. So for our children to be constantly requiring a screen, they're learning that from some. They're getting it from something. They're not born with a screen in their hand. So we need to look at ourselves, and this is going to sting a little bit today, but I'm going to throw some numbers at you just to see, just to show you how bad it's getting. So there are statistic globally on the average screen time for adults. So we're talking about adults here, and globally. So if we just average out everybody from everywhere around the world, the average screen time per day is 6 hours and 40 minutes. That's 6 hours and 40 minutes. That is pretty much a full-time shift that adults are on their phone every day. This is globally. Now, I can break it down to you. This statistics, by the way, was from 2024. So, of course, these were last year's numbers. Obviously, we don't have this year's numbers, but when I was digging into that, it looks like we're actually going to be going higher for 2025. So we do need to address this issue. It is quite important. And so far, I'm going to give you statistics for this year. So far in 2025, I've kind of give you the top three countries with the highest screen time and then the lowest screen time. So for the highest screen time, we have South Africa at 9 hours and 40 minutes a day, Brazil at 9 hours and 9 minutes a day, and the Philippines of 8 hours and 52 minutes a day. And so in some instances, this is screen time that does not involve work. So we're looking at the people pulling in overtime on screens. That doesn't even include work. Now, for the least amount of screen time, the winner is Japan with 4 hours and 9 minutes a day. Denmark is 5 hours and 10 minutes, and Greece, 5 hours and 21 minutes. That's pretty alarming. Now, I am in Canada, so I figured I would throw some North American statistics for you as well. So, the USA, they can only give us ranges for North America. Okay, so bear with me on this one. For the US, we're looking at anywhere from 7 hours to 12 and a half hours of screen time. Canada, we're looking at about 6 hours to, again, it'll go up into the 12 hours. I'll give you the breakdown for that as well. And then Mexico is averaging about 7 hours to 10 hours a day. So it's still pretty high. And in Canada, this is the interesting fact. In Canada, for individuals that are 18 to 34, that is a pretty wide age group range. But from 18 to 34, we have a big winner there, 13 hours a day on their screens. Seniors, this is the quite the impressive numbers. For anyone 65 and over, you're looking at 8.5 hours. Again, I'm giving averages, okay? And the most alarming hours. So our seniors are spending a lot of time on their screens, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit because it does have to do with connection again. So we have our seniors who are now, instead of socializing with human beings, they're socializing with their screens. And children, young children, are averaging 4 hours a day on screens. And that's just leisure because they're not involved with work most of the time. So just for fun, we're letting our children spend 4 hours a day on screens. And sometimes it's more than that. So these are really, really, really alarming statistics. And then if we're looking at the adult side of things, when we're looking at 6 hours a day, 13 hours a day being on our phone, that downtime with our phone is not a hobby. It is not a downtime. It's not a pastime. It is a lifestyle. So if you catch yourself saying that you don't have time to go to the gym, that you don't have time to meal prep, that you don't have time to do extra activities with your children, or that you don't have time to really take care of yourself, you have to admit now, depending on what your number is, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, your phone is your lifestyle. Your phone is your health regimen. Your phone is your parenting style. And so we really need to take that into consideration. We really need to get real with this. We are constantly on our children's case for being on the screen for too long. But if we look back and see at what they're seeing from us, we don't have to look very far from to find out where they're getting it from. Now, it is a lifestyle choice, and it is a choice that has some really long-lasting consequences. And this is what I'm going to go over right now with you. Now, this harsh reality does have quite an impact on our children, and a lot more people are talking about it. We need to talk about it a lot more. I'm going to run you through some of the main reasons why our time on our screens has a huge negative impact on our children and the newer generations. The first one being reduced face-to-face connection. Now, this has I've talked of I've done another podcast on this. I've been a guest on a podcast for that as well. Those face-to-face interactions, especially in the first 2 years of our child's life, and it's actually the first year, the first 2 years is very important because this is where our children are developing their social skills. Before they can even talk, before they can even move, they are absorbing what we're teaching them in terms of how to interact with another person. We are their first social circle. And so if we're thinking that, oh, they're babies, they can't talk, so I don't need to be in their face all the time. So if whatever there is that they're doing and they're watching you and you're on your screen, you're teaching them that that screen is more important than they are. So that face-to-face connection and the lack of, especially in the early years, has a huge impact on the emotional bonding. First of all, as a parent, you need to have that bonding, right? So you're removing that from that relationship with your child. So there's the emotional bonding, there's the attachment security. Children, when they're very young, they need to feel a sense of security, and they will bond or attach to the adults that do make them feel safe. So if you're not there with them, cooing and gurgling with them, or to actually have a conversation with them when they're talking to you, to look at them straight in the eyes and pay attention to what they're telling you, even if they're just rambling on, that does create attachment issues later on in life. It also is very, very alarming in terms of the overall development of the child, but specifically the language and reading skills. So, in order for a child to be able to read and write easily when they go into school, they need to have rich vocabulary. They need to learn many, many words and many ways of putting these words together. So, if we're removing that face-to-face interaction, where now there's no two-way conversation, where they're talking, you're talking back, they're talking, you're talking back. That interaction, that exchange doesn't exist when you have screen time. You're removing that from their chance of developing. So we now find children with very little vocabulary when they're coming into school, which will affect how they can process reading and writing. So it has a huge impact on our children's overall. And we're also talking about physical time, of course, if they're sitting or laying down on the ground instead of moving around, that does have an impact. And children are not going to go and play by themselves. They need you for that. So if you're on your screen, it takes away from their physical development, their emotional development, their cognitive development. So we're really messing up our kids right now with the screen time. We need to do something about it. The most important thing in terms of negative impact is that because we have the screen in our hand all the time, we're always looking at a screen. We could be with our family, but the TV is on. We have tablets. We have all of this. We're not interacting with each other. We are telling kids that they are not important. That's the overall message. And it's not our intention, it is clearly an unintentional thing. But it is what it is. We are teaching our kids that parents value screens more than their own children. So that does have an impact on it. There was actually a research with UCLA where extended screen time meant lower emotional recognition. So our children are not able to process their emotions. They don't know how to handle their emotions. So there's an issue there for later on with their interactions with other people, with their relationships, and just their overall interactions with other people. So it does have a huge impact. So just remember that every time you have the phone in your hand, you're basically telling your children that my screen is more important than you. And that is a hard pill to swallow. Another thing you need to realize that it's even if you are making the effort to not be on your phone when your child is interacting with you, but just the fact that you have the phone next to you, just on the table there. So you could be having family dinner, no screen at the table, but the phone is right there next to you. You're teaching your child that you're waiting for something more important to come up. So be mindful. Make sure the phone is nowhere near you. Make sure the tablet is nowhere near you. The interaction with your child is more important than whatever notification you're going to get. So do please remember that even if you're not on the phone or the screen, the fact that it's just sitting there next to you is sending that unconscious message to your child that whatever you're going through right now will be taken away as soon as this starts buzzing. And that is more important than they are. Looking at the fact that parents or adults in general, because this works for grandparents as well, don't forget our seniors are spending 7 hours a day on their phone. All right. So if grandma and grandpa are watching the kids, they're also neglecting the child. It is called, there is a term for that now called digital neglect. So it's not a form of abuse. It's not actually abusive, but it is emotionally unintentional disconnection. This is the actual term for it. So it's emotionally unintentional disconnection. We are creating this disconnect between human interaction. And so it's not abuse, but it is neglect in terms of parenting. You need to keep that in mind as well. The fact that before we can even solve our children's screen time problem, we need to confront ours. And I'm going to lead you into that right now. What can you do now to reduce your screen time so that your child feels seen, heard, and safe with you? So this is the way that you can reduce your screen time as an adult. There's a few things that you can do so that you are aware of what you're showing your child. And not only for your child, but for yourself as well. If you can reduce that, if you're not pulling in overtime after your full day of work, That's a good thing. Let's look at it that way. You have more time for yourself. You can have a bit more self-care. You could actually have a healthy physical routine where you are actually exercising and keeping your health up. It's good for your mental health as well, because now you're not just constantly bombarded with background noise. So it is very important for you, not just for your child, but you're also modeling for your child how to take care of yourself. Screens are not a good way of taking care of yourself. So the first thing is the first thing, the very first thing. This was shocking for me, because we kind of are in denial. It is an addiction. We're in denial of our problem and we'll find all sorts of excuses. My primary excuse is that I need my phone to run my business, right? So the first thing you need to do is be aware of how much you're actually using your screens and what are you using them for. So it really, before you can take any form of action, is be aware of what your stats are. So there, most smartphones now have a built-in app for that. They could tell you your phone usage. And so you could find out exactly what your daily screen time is and where you're spending it, where you're spending those hours. So know your number. That's really what it comes down to. Know your number. What's your number? And earlier this year, I was going through quite a bit with my book and my business. So, of course, I was on the phone a little bit more. There was a lot of interaction going on. I would hit 10 hours, 11 hours a day. And when I found that number, it shook me, because I never thought I'd be that person that would reach that number. Now, I did try to justify, well, I do have emails. I do have. But I'm very active on social media. I am recording on my phone for videos for YouTube and all of that. So I could justify it all. But between those, I was often just flipping over to doom scroll. I was disconnecting from my work by having more screen time. So that was a harsh reality for me to see. That was my number, and I needed to absolutely reduce that. One way that I did that is from now, as much as I can, unless I'm traveling, is anything that's work related now, business related, is on my laptop, not on my phone, so that I don't have any of the social media apps on my laptop. It's just business. And if I'm recording or if I'm editing videos or creating my posts for the month, it's on my laptop. So now I know that this is work related, and I try as much as possible to restrict my phone time for just leisure stuff. It does help. I mean, it's not perfect because sometimes I am on the road and I need to work things out, but it does lead to the next thing that you could do after you know your number, is to set intention-based screen time versus passive scrolling. So set intention screen time. What am I using my screen for, as opposed to just passive scrolling, right? Just wasting your time. So once I knew my number and once I figured everything that's work related is going to be on my laptop, whenever I would reach for my phone now would be, oh, is this work related? Because if it is, I need to go to switch over to my laptop. And so it kind of clicked in my brain there that, okay, work is on the laptop. That's my official work-related income making screen time, whereas everything else on my phone is what's taking away from everything else. So that does help, but be intentional with your screen time. Why am I using my phone right now? Why am I logging on to Netflix right now? So you set your intention. It does help a little bit. If you do want to just kind of scroll through social media, catch up on some texts or DMs, that's fine. But set an intention to say, okay, that I'm spending the next 30 minutes here. Set a timer. It helps a lot to reduce. It will be frustrating at first. It is an addiction. So now you're taking that time away from you. From yourself, it is frustrating to be like, that was too fast. I need more, you know. Or if you're starting to binge watch on Netflix, it will get frustrated. But set your intention to say, okay, I'm cutting that down by half. I'm cutting it down by an hour a day to start. Set your intentions. For families, this is very helpful, is if you set phone-free zones or times. So in the common area, like a family room or a living room, there are no phones allowed. The phones stays somewhere else. So now you really are interacting. Those phone-free times could be, of course, mealtime. Set it an hour when you wake up. You go an hour without your phone or your tablet or your whatever, and then an hour before bedtime. This helps a lot, especially with children, to kind of calm down, to calm the head. There's a lot of stimulation that comes from looking at a screen, and those are known facts, for yourself as well. The screen light does affect your sleep patterns, so for your health and for your child's health, you want to be able to cut that out. If you can't do an hour, start with half an hour. If you can't do half an hour, start with 10 minutes, but increase that number as you go. You're not looking for perfection here. You're looking for improvement. So set those times, stick to it. You are modeling the example. You are the screen time influencer. So make sure that you are not. If you set those phone-free zones or times, make sure that you are sticking to it and you are consistent, and don't be looking for excuses for why you have to break the rules, and accept the fact that your kids will call you out on it. That means you're teaching them something. The other thing that you could do as well is get your kids involved in the decision making of that. Say, okay, we want to spend more time together. We want to play together. So what do you think? Should it be before or after? You know, how much time do you think it should be? How do we do this? Get them involved. They will take it more seriously as well. Another thing that you can do is this is actually very important for two reasons. It's first of all, it moves you from actually setting the example for your child without being the police. You're not constantly nagging them about the screen time, but it's just something that will get more success with your results. And it's not to just full out remove screen time, but you want to replace screen time with connection time. So don't just leave a void. This we're taking the tablets away, and now you're just kind of staring at the wall. That's not going to work. You're going to get behavioral issues. You're going to get meltdowns. Don't forget that your child was born into this lifestyle, right? They've always heard the TV in the background. They've always heard reels playing in the background as you're scrolling. So this is their life. You've created that life for them. So just removing it out of the blue will destabilize them quite a bit. So don't just remove it, but replace it with something else. So that connection time is much more important. Replace it. If you used to watch an hour of TV shows with them, replace that time with other activities. It could just be a 10-minute conversation with your child, something that they probably have never had before. Maybe just have that one or two sentence conference communication as a kind of routine, but to actually have a convo, you will find that it's quite difficult to keep a conversation going with your child, and you must realize that you've never taught your child how to have a conversation. So you can't expect them to be able to do it right away. So it will feel awkward, but you're the one who has to lead, right? So replace that time with a conversation. You could read together. Again, we are giving our children the opportunity to develop more words, more vocabulary, which means that it'll be easier for them to learn how to read and write later on. So we are increasing the number of words that they know. We're increasing how they can put those words together in different forms to create different meanings to them. It's very important. Playtime, active play, get moving. If you don't have time to work out, hanging around with your child for 20 minutes is quite the workout. So be active. They need it. You need it. So it is very, very healthy for you to do that as well. Share hobbies together. It could just be a puzzle. It could be painting. It could be, you know, There's so much stuff. You know, your child, every child is different. You do science experiments, you could build stuff. Building a blanket fort, honestly, is a classic. You could use that fort to read a book together later on. It's things that you can't do with your phone. So just think about those kind of activities that you could do with your child instead of being on the screen. And you will find that eventually you just won't need that phone anymore. These are all examples that sound really great, right? Everything works in theory, but don't forget we are addicted to our screens. Our children are addicted to our screens, so it could be difficult. So if you find that you do need extra help, it's not sticking, you're having a hard time, your child is having a hard time, there's some extra things that you can do, and one of them is called, it's what I would say is creating friction. So it is too easy to reach for a phone. Sometimes you do it without even realizing it. So we are starting the day without our phone, and next thing you know, it's in our hand. We're like, what? How did that get there? Right? So kids do the same. They're just walking around with a tablet. They're not even using it. The tablet's off, but they're just holding it like a security blanket. It can be difficult, and we're not actually aware that we're doing it. So creating friction is something where you're making it even harder for you to have a look at your screen. So it would be turning off all of your no notifications. Those emails are not that important when it comes to your child, right? You're not getting paid extra if you're at home not answering emails. Set times when you will answer your emails. So say, okay, I'm going to do it once in the morning and once after lunch, or maybe the last hour before the end of the day, so you can catch up on those last minute little details. So people are not waiting for you until tomorrow, but set those times to maybe checking your emails twice a day as opposed to every time one comes through, because it also takes you away from the work that you're supposed to be doing. So set some times where you're only going to look at those emails and catch up to them. Block that into your schedule on a daily basis. I've worked with one of my mentor. I was blown away by this, and I just really want to get to that eventually. But he would start off with answering emails once a week. So he got himself to once a week, and now I think it's even once every other week. So he just really got that down where he's not run. He doesn't run his business on emails, and the emails don't run him. So I thought that was pretty impressive. I'm not there yet, but I am working. I am now working at maybe once or twice a day that I will be checking my emails. So do that. Turn off all notifications. You don't need to know, especially if you're in a group chat. You don't need to get those 9 pings in the span of 30 seconds. It takes away from your attention. If you're having a great conversation with your child and you're just hearing that bing, 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 it's cutting that quality time with your child. And again, you're teaching your child that that is more important. And now they're just bothering you. So turn all those notifications. You really don't need it. I only have mine for my family members because I know they only contact me if there's an emergency. So if I hear that bing and I have a specific ringtone for that, I know that something's up. Aging parents that are not very healthy, I keep that notification so that I know that if my brother or my sister contact me, then there's something there. Delete all of the apps that you are addicted to, right? Or keep them off of your home screen so that you actually have to do extra steps to get to it. We're getting lazy, we're not going to do it. But if there's those social media apps, just take them off your device. You don't need them. There's other ways to get to them. But if they're really taking, if you're on Facebook for 6 hours a day, delete it, right? Delete it. Unless Facebook is paying you for it, you shouldn't be on there for that long. That's the way you should be looking at it right now. So 6 hours you could have been spending with your child to build that really strong connection with them. So delete the apps that are you're most drawn to, and allow yourself to go on these specific times. It helps a lot. Grayscale your phone. That's going to help as well. So there's specific times where you're not even getting anything anymore. That helps a lot. So this is what you could do if you really find that you're struggling with being consistent and disciplining yourself and moving away from your addiction. It is an addiction, so you need to go through the steps. One of the most important things that you need to do in order to get yourself off the phone or off any of your devices is to anchor an identity shift, right? So this is where you need to look at yourself as I am a present parent, not a scrolling parent, right? Because if you're spending 6 hours a day on your phone, you are a scrolling parent. That is your parenting style. So anchor that into you that you are a present parent, not a scrolling parent. So every time you reach for a device, just keep reminding yourself, no, I am a present parent, and put that thing down. So now you are focusing on your child and what they're telling you and focusing on that time with them. It's doing that, all of those little tips that I've given you, it really does improve the time that you have with your child, where you're not just going, well, how was your day? Whatever. They're on this. They're not even paying attention to you. It will create quality time with your child. And the other thing too, if you're not convinced with all of this, you get fewer meltdowns. Your child is having meltdowns or tantrums because they're not getting attention from you, or their needs are not being met, or they don't know how to self-regulate. You can only work through those when you are present with them and model it for them. So by reducing your screen time, you are spending that time to help your child regulate their emotions. A lot of those emotions won't exist anymore because now they realize that they are important to you, right? And they're not learning that the only way that they can get your attention or to get you to move away from your screen is by throwing things around the room. So this will help quite a lot. The other thing too is meltdowns. Usually there are warning signs hours before they start. Your child is non-verbally telling you that something isn't right, and we just keep ignoring it because we're busy somewhere else. So you're going to be able to catch those little cues that your child is telling you that they're about to throw a fit, and you can stop it before it starts. So that will help you as well. So now that we've gone through the harsh reality of what is your number, right? So find out your number, find out where you actually want to get to, which number you want to get to, and how to intentionally use your screens, and then how to put yourself in check and how to help you reduce your screen time. Now we can move on to how we can reduce our children's screen time. We can't start with our kids because we're modeling how, the behavior. So you got to check with you first. You got to put you in check, and then we can put your kids in check. So this is what you can do to guide your kids to reduce screen time. They are pretty effective, but again, you need to put yourself in check first. So you need to you need to lead. You need to be a leader, not the police, right? So as a leader, again, through your examples, you're showing them, you're modeling the behavior. You're telling them, oh, you know what? I've been on this phone for too long. Let's put that in the room, and I'm all in right now. So that's what a leader does. Instead of playing the police, where it's like, put your tablet down. If you don't do this, I'm going to take the tablet away. If you don't do this, I'm going to take your phone away. If you, right? No more screen time for the next 3 weeks. All of that, that's the police, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know that because after the half an hour, your kids are driving you crazy and you just hand it back to them. So be a leader. This is what a parent is a leader. You need to lead your child into healthy habits. So show up by example, not by being the tyrant in the process. Kids really learn from what they see and not what they are told. You know that very well already. So just lead by example. Another thing that you can do is move away from restricting your child from screen time, like I mentioned earlier, and go with replacing. So don't just create an empty space where screen time used to be. Replace it with something else. So again, physical play, get outside, play, have fun, do little push-ups, whatever. You know, blanket forts, they're my favorite. They're so much fun for you and for the kids. You know, creative activities, get their creativity, imagination going. You can create stories, create drawings, build with blocks, build cities, build, you know, whatever your child wants to do. will help you a lot. Just create that one-on-one time with them. You were using that time for your screens anyway, so you're not adding time to your day. You're replacing it. You're replacing your screen time to actual quality time with your child. So that's going to help a lot. So don't just restrict, but replace. Fill in that void, because otherwise you're just creating more friction for you. Like I mentioned earlier, involve your kids in the screen time decision. So when you're saying, okay, we're going to create phone free zones in this house, where do you think it should be? So you have them decide which rooms should be phone free, and that will help them, and not only teach them how to create healthy habits for themselves, but also to feel like they're part of it and they're going to stick to it a little bit better. It helps a lot. Spend that time to teach your child about digital literacy and self-regulation. So again, it's not just to say screen times are no good for you. Okay, the kids don't go for that. Explain why screen times are not good for them. And they're going to retain. So explain why too much screen time is unhealthy, instead of just saying, because I said so. What we used to hear. So explain to them why. Spend that time to explain to them why it's unhealthy. Give them the reasons why, in terms of emotional health, psychological health, physical health, and then their time together. Another very important thing, and I mentioned earlier, is celebrate the progress, not the perfection. Okay, you can't be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. There are days where we're just a little lower than usual, and just that disconnect and spending time watching an episode or whatever can help us a little bit to just calm down. It shouldn't, but let's be real. It does happen sometimes. So progress is better. If you're at 7 hours a day of screen time, you're not going to get it down to 1 hour a day by tomorrow. So set yourself to say, okay, well, this week I just want to be 10 minutes better, or half an hour better, or see the progress is actually going to make you want to do better and improve it and get that number to go down. So if you're going all or nothing, next thing you'll be at 11 hours a day as opposed to 7 hours a day. So celebrate the progress and make it fun with the kids to say, okay, how much time have you spent? How much time have I spent? Are our numbers better? Make it a competition who's going to be the best one this week or today, depending on the child's attention span. When they're younger, they can't wait a week. It needs to be okay today. Let's see how good we are. So just celebrate those progress, and you'll see that number go down a lot better. So with all of this information, we have to really accept the fact that screen time is now a family system problem. It's not a child problem. The kids are not having screen time problems, because now even our seniors have screen time problems. So it's an overall family system problem. So we have to stop blaming the kids on this. Grandparents, you need to stop blaming the kids on it. You are stuck glued to that TV just as much as they are. So let's work together. Let's address this. This is a family issue now. It's not just a child issue. The child are just imitating us, so it's not their problem. And we're letting it happen. It's not their problem. So let's see it that way. The solution is your leadership. How good of a leader are you? Because as a parent, the parent is a leadership role. So it has to come from you. You are the solution. How is your leadership? Your child, if you are setting the example, if you are doing all the right things, your child will just naturally follow. That's what they do. They will follow the parent. So model it to them. Don't forget, it's your leadership. If it's not working, you need to put your leadership in check there. Think of it as reducing screen time is not a punishment. It's reclaiming your life, right? So teach that to your kids as well, that reducing screen time, because they are going to take it as a punishment. They will have a meltdown from it. They will push back because that's all they know. So just keep teaching them that it's not a punishment to reduce our screen time. It's actually, we're reclaiming our lives. We are in control of our lives. We feel better that way. So know that is the most important thing to do. It's not a punishment. Stop using it as a punishment because you're teaching your child that screen time is life. If you're removing the good things from their lives to punish them, then screen time is a good thing. So move away from that. It's not a punishment. You're reclaiming your life. Okay, we've been sitting down for hours. That's not good for our body. It's not good for our health. It's not good for our mental health. Let's go and play, and go and play together. Not tell them, go play outside and leave them so you can watch your show quietly, but just go out and play with them. Go, if you can't go out and play, then find something in the house that you could do together. You are reclaiming your life. You're not punishing yourself. So just know that kids don't need perfect parents. They need present parents. And this is the most important thing ever, is to shift that identity. I am a present parent, which means that that device is nowhere near me when I'm with my children. It's not easy, but we need to get there because clearly we're doing it wrong. We've been doing it wrong for three generations now, and it's not going to get better. So we need to do it. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me. I'm here to help. And till next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.